How are we doing, guys? Fueling the NFL athlete. I know a lot of this stuff won't necessarily apply to you, but I'm going to try to give you some takeaways at the end of this as well. Appreciate you guys letting me come in. What I will say is later on, when it comes to the fueling specifics, I just ask that you don't take pictures of some of them. Our team has specific sponsorships, and sponsorship doesn't always equal use when it comes to reality. So disclosure is the joy of it. I'm on the Health and Wellness Advisory Committee for Dairy Max, which is our local dairy council here in the state of Texas, Oklahoma, and Arizona. So if I mention milk, I'm not paid for it. I just happen to advise on certain things when it comes to the Health and Wellness Committee, and then our partnership for Fuel Up to Play 60 as well with the NFL. So overall, my goal is to be able to give you some NFL reality, how it compares to your reality, some of the challenges, the basics of fueling and recovery, and nutrition overall, and then supplementation, which is always a hot topic. So, to start with, the reality of the NFL, about 2% of high school athletes end up making it to the NCAA. Of those, 1.7%, which is 0.08% of the total athlete population in high school, will ever make it to the NFL, and that's to a 90-man roster, not a 53-man roster. So that means you've been in a building for any number of weeks, days, but not necessarily on a full-time roster. That's not including practice squad, all the rest. So, slim chances. When you get to the NFL, because it is such a small community, your body is your business. If you're hurt, you're put on IR, you get injury settlements, you're no longer a member of a team in the NFL. Your goal is to be able to get healthy and get back in. So while you're with a team, your body is your business, and you're an independent contractor, and the fact that everything that you do is solely up to you, there are certain things that we can mandate that you do, showing up for rehab, etc., but you have to keep your own best interests in mind as an athlete. So preparation and recovery are now your job, along with knowing the playbook. And food becomes an investment in your current and future performance, as well as well-being, longevity in the NFL. So although a lot of high school athletes now live off Wendy's, McDonald's, you name it, fast food, junk food, you can't really get away with that as much in the NFL. There are still players that do. Chad Johnson's probably the best living example of that. He likes to publicize on social media his love of McDonald's. But some of the challenges that we face, regardless of how much money they make now, every guy has a backstory. Where they came from, their socioeconomic population, their individual background, the college that they went to. Did they go to one of the Power Five conferences? Did they have a dietitian? Most of them don't, outside of Division One. Previous exposure to nutrition. Could be positive, could be negative. Doesn't mean that it was a registered dietitian, just means that somebody told them about nutrition, right, wrong, or indifferent. Their draft status plays a big part. Were they drafted in the top three rounds? Great. You're basically guaranteed a roster spot. Rounds 4 through 7, you're pretty much a free agent. We can get rid of you pretty easily. That also comes into play as far as free capital. So those guys have top three rounds, have pretty good signing bonuses, and have the ability to do whatever they need to support themselves. It's an investment and a tax write-off. And then also the training facility used for a combine. Training facilities have become big business when it comes to combine training. And a lot of it has an impact on the players by the time they come in, because they've had specialists in physical therapy, they've had docs that are there, they've got orthopedists for most of them. Dr. Andrews is most famous for that with Exos down in Florida. But then they've also got registered dietitians, and then they have a business outside of just that combine training. That combine training is used for marketing potential to drive private business, much like the CESs of the world, D1 sports, things of that nature. So you have to understand where they're coming from before they get to you. Like I said, every single facility has a niche and a philosophy that they're selling, because they have to do something besides combine training. Average combine cost for a full slot is about $18,000 for a matter of like 5 to 6 weeks training, give or take. And every agent has a preference with who they're going to train their guys with, who they're going to send them to, who they trust. And they're a product of their experiences again. So from top to bottom, this is pretty much where the facilities stand as far as reputation in the NFL world. But this is just some perspective, as there are about 600 training facilities that advertise combine training. So keep in mind, there are only 310 that are invited to the combine. There are about 1,000 to 1,200 athletes that get evaluated for the draft every single year, priority free agents as well as CFAs. So now that we've got the NFL side out of the way and the perspective of what it takes to get there, the basics of nutrition really haven't changed much. Timing, balance, and consistency are the biggest keys. It's very, very basic. The question is whether they're really going to do it. A lot of them have never had to. They've been a big fish in a small pond. It's a matter of how can we increase compliance? Where are they now? Meet them where they are. So real food, which a lot of them have not had consistently, unless they've had a very good training table, which is about the top 10% of the Power 5 conferences. Even some of the best schools in the country still don't have that great of a training table. Proper hydration, especially in the state of Texas and city of Houston. We're looking at the wet bulb temp. We're sitting in the black for almost every single one of our practices. It's insane. Thankfully, this year we're going to the Greenbrier in West Virginia, so that'll alleviate a lot of the temperature issues, but that's a huge part. And then safe and effective supplementation. Keyword being safe. In the NFL, every player is told that anything they put in their body, food or otherwise, is their responsibility. If you test positive, too bad. You're the one that put it in your mouth. You're the one that purchased it. No matter who told you to do it, it's your responsibility. First time is 4 games, unpaid. Availability equals dependability. If you can't be depended on, be there for a game, you're more than likely on the bottom rung and getting cut, unless you're a top 5 player on your team. So that's a big, big sticking point for us. Certification is huge. I'll talk a little bit about that at the end. So, the overview. Just like everyone else, you have 5 to 8 eating opportunities throughout the day, 3 to 4 meals, and 2 to 4 snacks. The more that we can impact these in a positive way, the better. So for me, I'll find private chefs in the city of Houston, use restaurateurs that want side businesses to be able to produce food for my athletes so that not only do I have control over what they're eating in the facility, now I have control over what they're eating outside the facility. It gets a little bit tricky when they have wives and girlfriends and their opinions. I actually had to have a conversation last year where I said, I'm sorry, your wife's Google search doesn't trump my licensure, but okay, thank you. Let's get back to reality now. So again, tons of outside intervening as far as opinions are concerned. But again, the basics still apply. If you can impact in a positive way compared to what they're currently doing, you're going to have some sort of positive progression. For them, food is energy. It's fuel to live and fuel to perform. It's fuel to be able to study. What you eat affects how you play. That's all pretty basic. We get that. But the thing that they don't realize is that every decision they make today is going to impact not only the next 30 minutes, the next hour, the next workout, the next study session, potentially a week plus. So for the weekends that they have off, if you go out and you drink about 20 drinks with your buddies out in Vegas because you flew out there because you had 3 days off, what are you going to look like when you come back? You're going to look like hell. That's just part of it. But trying to give them this joy of understanding in the very beginning as a rookie is very, very challenging. Some of them have had positive experiences, some of them haven't. But they'll find out the hard way. Overall, there's 3 focus areas. Again, these are all basics for most of you. The carbohydrates, protein, and fats. The distribution of those, I'm not going into specifics, mainly because what I do with my guys does not apply to your guys and girls. Not at all. You got to think of training age, training length, ability, all the rest. The type of training that my guys do is focused specifically towards maximizing their individual potential in the NFL. They're so far advanced that the basic principles that we have are like PhD level from your student athletes. That's not saying that you can't apply them, but they need to be very, very simple. Do the little things right. Eat first. That's kind of the basics. A lot of times they go 4 or 5 hours without meals. Along with that, because a lot of them came from BFE, you name it, college, high school, they don't quite understand the difference when you say eat the rainbow. Yep. Eat a little bit of everything, phytonutrients help, but not Skittles. Right? Quality is huge. Quality over quantity every day. Again, off days are the biggest misnomer apart from off season in the NFL. There is no off day. There is no off season. If you're not doing something, you're falling behind, and those 30 guys that are behind you for your position are gaining a leg up. Even if that's coming in for rehab, prehab, a little bit of work in the pools, doing contrast treatment, you name it. If they're doing something and you're not, who's in the wrong? So you're either training, recovering, or preparing for the next bout of exercise. This is now your life in the NFL. There's no school. Your school is going into the meeting room. Your job is your role on the team. If you don't know how to line up, you'll quickly be cut. So for us, pregame, this is one of those where I ask you, please don't take pictures. Like I said, sponsorship, Gatorade's one of our prime sponsors. Coca-Cola is one of our prime sponsors as well. But in the NFL, we cannot purchase, provide, or distribute any supplements to players. We can recommend them, but we cannot provide them physically. So we've come up with nutrition products in every single area to be able to make this work. But our pregame recommendations, it's a bit of an embarrassment of riches when it comes to our hotels. Our pregame meals are essentially a breakfast, a lunch, and action stations for breakfast and lunch, and all the above at once. You could probably feed a third world country pretty easily off of our spread. But the goal is to be able to find something that every single player, the 53-man roster, 46 that are able to play in that game, will eat once, if not twice, off that pregame meal. So 4 to 5 hours prior to the game is when our meal is. Our first bus goes 4 hours prior to the stadium because our pregame routine is pretty extensive. A lot of our players grab meals to go. That way they can eat when they get to the locker room about 2 hours before the game, once they've done their first set of warming up and getting prepared. 30 minutes to an hour prior, we recommend a snack containing carbohydrates, a little bit of protein, depending on tolerance. Tolerance is key when it comes to activity. If you're giving them something that causes GI distress, you've effectively ended their ability to compete. That's the last thing you want to do. First, do no harm. 30 minutes to an hour prior, again, and then 30 seconds before, carbohydrates of some form, generally some sort of fluid. By the time my guys get through the first year, a lot of the second year players can tolerate pretty much anything. There are a few exceptions, solid food, liquid, whatever it may be. You just have to figure out what works best with that individual. I have the time to be able to do that. That's part of the reason why I'm there full time, to be able to cater those individual needs, but not everybody has that. So you have to find what's the lowest common denominator that works for your players. Is it a banana? That's great. Is it a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Whatever it may be. In game. Again, some of the things that we use. Generation UCAN is a hydrothermically modified starch. It's used for long-term energy, low total caloric intake. We use, yes, Smucker's Uncrustables. They're still large children. They just make a lot of money. Got to be able to get them to eat. We use certain products for hydration outside of Gatorade itself. Sometimes these guys, because of their size and because of the heat involved, and the stress, along with other products that they take, tend to sweat more at a higher sodium rate. So we use things like an oral rehydration solution called The Right Stuff, which is about 1,800 milligrams of sodium per 0.7 ounces. We use chews, some caffeinated, some not. We use other bars, and then we use another product that addresses neuromuscular cramping. So all of those are individual conversations that can last for a very long time. But again, we have to have a wealth of product available for all of our possibilities of need. If there's an issue that comes up and I don't have a solution for it, I'm probably the quickest one to get fired. So during the game, a mix of Gatorade, water, and ORS are generally going to be found based on the individual's tolerance and the amount that they play. We've got some guys that'll play 5 to 10 plays. We've got some guys that'll play 60 plus. We've got some guys that'll play 60. Then they play special teams. So everybody has a little bit different mix. Gatorade's coming out with these fancy new GX bottles with custom formulas and all the rest, and we've been their test pilots for it. But at the end of the day, individualization of hydration protocols at our level is huge because that's going to maximize their ability to stay on the field, not just get on the field. Prophylactic IVs have become the norm in the NFL a lot of times, but it's one of those, if you can do it orally and not cause GI distress, it's huge. Halftime, we have peanut butter and jellies available. Those Uncrustables go with me everywhere. Consistency is key. If you can find something that's shelf-stable or stable enough to be able to take with you every single game, having the player identify the product and not just something that's in a baggie is always better. They'll go for it. They feel comfortable taking it in. Same thing with bars, fruit, and fluids that are available. Post-game, very simple. Again, milk shows up. There's plenty of research to support post-game fueling. Timing is an issue that has seen a lot of mixed reviews, but in the NFL, it's about maximizing, not just trying to get some sort of advantage performance-wise. We've got to take every available opportunity to get them back, because turnaround playing from Sunday to Thursday is very, very challenging. So fluid rehydration is key. Recovery drink of some sort that includes protein, carbohydrates, possibly a little bit of fat, depending on caloric needs. And then they have two full meals post-game as well on top of that. They have one as they take a shower to get on the bus to go to the airport, and they have another full meal, three options available on the plane whenever we go. That's not including all the other snacks. If you fly on our plane, there is no shortage of food. Okay, so I tried to rush through that way I could get through to questions, but supplements are the hottest topic of all because everybody, I get emails and calls from high school students and parents and others that have sent their kids off to college about what supplements they should give them, what protein powder they should give them, what pills they should provide. At the end of the day, safety is number one, no matter what. Third-party certification, in my mind, is mandatory. If I'm ever going to recommend anything, it has to be NSF certified. There are other third-party certifications out there. There are differences in what they actually test for, how they test, the frequency, the number of lots. To give you some perspective, NSF certification is every batch testing. They test the source, they test for truth and label claims, they test for banned substances, and all the above. They also test for manufacturing practices. They visit every single one, and every lot and every container can be traceable back to the original with all of their raw ingredients. So that's the only way that I feel comfortable recommending supplements is that they're NSF certified. There is a website that you can go to. It's nsfsport.org, I believe. Brett, correct me if I'm wrong. I think that's right. If you search NSF Sport, it'll come up. It's one of the first ones. But it's updated every 24 hours, and that's every single product that's available that's third-party certified through NSF. And they have contact information to be able to order them as well. One of the pieces, too, that comes up all the time is, yeah, that's great. Supplements are awesome. But if you're not doing the right things with food, it's like putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound. It's not working very well. I mean, you can get through for about a week or two, but at the end of the day, you're going to hit that ceiling at some point. So you really, really need to take care of the basics first before you can get into this realm. But I know that a lot of people, one of the biggest things that's a turnoff for parents, kids alike, athletes in general, is if you just tell them no, find out a way for it to work. But at the end of the day, you also have to have their best interest in mind. And knowing that the newest technology with cutting-edge products is what's going to get you in trouble. Oh, we haven't had time to get the certification yet. Well, sorry. Talk to me whenever you get it. So with that, as I know this is generally one that leads to questions. Any?
We have questions? Yes, sir.
We assume they're dehydrated. You can do urine-specific gravity, but at the end of the day, if they come in, it's not the first void of the day, the test isn't very valid. And by the time they get into our facility, at 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning, they've already peed at least once.
Any other questions? Back.
They're available. We use other chews as well as the Gatorade chews. All the Gatorade products are always available, fuel bars, etc. Compliance with them isn't necessarily the best. So we have to come up with other ways to be able to get the food inside it. It's not nutrition until you put it in your mouth. So it's all well and good to be able to have it there, but if they're not going to take it in, it's a waste of cost. So we use Bonk Breaker Chews. There's a ton of other companies that are out there. There's little waffles that work the same from Honey Stinger. Honey Stinger makes chews. If you're looking for nutrition products that are good for ease of entry, look into the endurance world. A lot of the triathlon community, a lot of the running community have a ton of products that just haven't made it to other sports yet. So it's, as long as it's a nutrition product, has nutrition facts panel on the back, you can generally feel comfortable with putting it in.